The race is on to comply with a federal court mandate to reduce overcrowding in California state prisons. The state is supposed to have reduced the prison population to 167% of capacity by this November and then continue in stages through 2013. The California Department of Corrections, or CDCR, recently announced plans to release female prisoners not convicted of violent or sexual crimes under a family reunification program. CDCR reports that 45% of the total female population of 10,000 may be eligible. The CDCR is not attributing its sudden interest in the 2010 reunification program directly to the federal mandate, but it is currently the only scheme that will have an immediate impact and move the state toward compliance. In addition to early release programs, which are unpopular among law enforcement, the state has looked at relocating its prisoners to county jails. However, local governments have balked, saying they don't have the money or the space to spare. In Los Angeles, the 7-facility county jail system is not an ideal solution for a third, more sinister reason. According to investigative reporter Matthew Fleischer, inmates at the L.A. Men's Central Jail are subject to horrific abuses by or under the watch of the sheriff's deputies who work there. Known as the CJ, it is the largest jail in the county, holding over 4,300 men a day. Severe beatings and sexual humiliation are commonplace, say inmates and whistleblowers. Prisoners have been left in unsupervised situations where other inmates savagely beat and raped them. Deputies are also known to form clubs that witnesses say function more like gangs. Members intimidate their fellow officers, abuse inmates, sport matching tattoos, and adhere to a strict code of silence. Reforms, Fleischer reports, are slow in coming due to pushback within the ranks and disinterest among top administrators. My guest is Matthew Fleischer. He's an award-winning LA-based journalist and editor who's been a staff writer with the LA Weekly and senior editor of the LA City Beat. He's currently a contributing editor to the Los Angeles Times Magazine and editor for Fishbowl LA. He writes for several other outlets, both print and online, and he now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising, Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
So first, let's talk about the severe abuse happening in Central Jail. This is an issue that's been suspected, but what was the evidence that you gathered?
We were able to get in touch with a whistleblower inside the sheriff's department who was able to confirm essentially what the ACLU and a number of media outlets have kind of more than hinted at for years, but whose allegations have been able to be kind of dismissed by the sheriff's department, which is that LA Sheriff's Department, who runs the county jail system, has known for a number of years, since at least 2005, that there is a serious problem with inmate abuse inside the LA County jails, not just Men's Central Jail, but it is the worst there inside Men's Central Jail. And our whistleblower essentially told us that efforts to stem the tide of abuse inside of deputy on inmate abuse inside Men's Central Jail has been stymied by the highest levels of the sheriff's department, specifically in 2006, where efforts to install a camera system were kind of shut down, and on top of that, the effort of a captain in charge of the jail to break up some of the deputy gangs who were causing a lot of this abuse on inmates was shot down from the top by then Assistant Sheriff Paul Tanaka.
So what exactly are sheriff's deputies doing in Men's Central Jail? What role do they play in not just being directly involved in the abuse, but creating conditions and allowing abuse to occur?
Sure. Both seem to be happening. We cite the case of Juan Pablo Reyes, who's an inmate who was allegedly beaten last December, where he was a trustee in the jail, which is someone who is considered reliable and who's given special duties by sheriff's department deputies inside. So he's not someone that should receive extra scrutiny. He's considered non-dangerous, basically. And Juan Pablo Reyes was sweeping up. He found a letter that was intended to go to. He found it on the ground on the third floor of Men's Central Jail, or CJ as it's known. And he found this letter. I guess we still don't know who it was intended for, but he presumably sheriff's deputies. He returned it to the deputy station, and the deputies accused him of stealing it, a charge he denied. 2 days later, Reyes was confronted again by the same deputies who had accused him of stealing the letter. They essentially asked him to snitch. They said, "Okay, we'll forgive you stealing this letter again," which Reyes said he he didn't steal in the first place, and said, you know, if you turn in other inmates who have coke or crystal, we'll forgive this little incident. He said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And he then alleges that deputies physically put on plastic gloves and beat him severely, fracturing his orbital bone and possibly breaking his rib. That's not all that happened to him. He was then, he claims, thrown in a cell with gang members after being paraded naked through the halls of Men's Central Jail on the 3600 module. He was paraded naked. Deputies shouted over the intercom, "Aquí va un maricón caminando," which means basically, you know, here comes a gay man or faggot walking, you know, meant to be derogatory. And it was then thrown in a cell with other inmates who proceeded to beat him and eventually rape him once the lights went down. You know, it's this kind of horrible nightmare that you would expect from Oz or from Hollywood. But according to the race, it happened, and he's certainly not the only one alleging similar abuses.
What exactly makes the case that what happened to him is a systemic issue and not just one severe incident?
Sure. Well, the ACLU has been documenting cases like Mr. Reyes's for years. I think in the past 18 months, they've documented 28 similar. It was 28. It might even be more now. I believe Mr. Reyes wasn't included in that number. So at least 28 similar instances of allegations of deputy on inmate abuse, which is fairly significant. That's a fairly significant number, considering any of those could turn into a lawsuit. You know, $1 million lawsuit. I was also going to say there have been cases going like this going back to 2005, at least, that have made big news, and nothing seems to have been done about it.
How are these sheriff's deputies protected from above? Because they presumably, if this is so rampant, it would come to someone's attention unless it's condoned.
Sure. I mean, it seems like any time a story like this comes out, and they have in the past, sheriff's department, I'm not going to say they haven't taken it seriously, but they've certainly been able to deflect attention away with kind of two techniques. One is by just saying inmates, prisoners lie. You know, what happened at Reyes, we don't, you know, I certainly was not inside the jail with Mr. Reyes, so I don't know whether what he's saying is true. I assume it is, and there seems to be evidence to back it up, but the department says, oh, you know, inmates lie, we can't believe him, it didn't happen, we'll try and keep an eye on it next time. Their other excuse has been, well, we don't have cameras inside the jails, you know, so even if there is physical evidence of a beating, even if there are witnesses, these people could be lying too. We're not sure.
And you said earlier that they fought against having the cameras.
Exactly. So. Back in 2005, there was a case of an inmate named Chadwick Shane Cochran, who was stomped to death inside Men's Central Jail, literally stomped by fellow inmates who were literally jumping, you know, on his head. He was a mentally ill inmate, and they were jumping from his head, from on top of his head, from you know, tables and whatnot, and he died, all with apparently no supervision by deputies who were supposed to monitor such things. And kind of in the wake of that incident, There was a media kind of a media firestorm saying how could this happen. The county, they had the sheriff's department look into installing cameras, and in 2006, early 2006, the sheriff's department came back with a $12 million plan for 1,200 cameras inside Central Jail. A few months later, that plan was filed and received by the county, which essentially means that thanks, but no thanks. Thanks for the work. We're not going to do anything about it. And, you know, the county certainly—that was the county board of supervisors. They certainly share blame in the fact that there are no cameras inside. But Lee Baca, the sheriff, could have pushed for this plan, and by all accounts, he didn't. What he wants is a new jail. And he went in the press several months later asking for a new jail, saying essentially, Men's Central Jail is architecturally outdated. It's decrepit, and we need a new jail. You know, kind of push this camera thing under the rug.
Describe the culture among sheriff's deputies particularly in Men's Central Jail, but wherever all of these abuses are systemic, this sort of gang culture that has developed.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's more than just a culture. It's actual gangs from everything that's, you know, literal gangs with tattoos and hand signs. And
these are the people supposed to be protecting those, or at least keeping the peace within the jails. These are not the actual supposed convicted criminals.
Exactly. We're not talking about convicted criminals or even people awaiting trial who are members of gangs. We're talking about
deputies. People on our payroll.
Exactly,
our,
who have a constitutional duty to keep inmates safe. They're forming gangs on the inside, apparently. Back in December, actually, 2 days after Juan Pablo Reyes, 2 days before, I'm sorry, Juan Pablo Reyes says he was assaulted by sheriff's deputies. There was a fight at a Christmas party among sheriff's deputies in Montebello. And something like 12 deputies ganged up on 2 deputies and just beat them up badly. Those 2 deputies are subsequently suing the department because they allege that the deputies who beat them are members of a gang called the 3000 Boys, who kind of supposedly run the third floor of Men's Central Jail with an iron fist and intimidate other deputies and certainly inmates. And this incident drew a host of media scrutiny. Obviously, it was a shock to many that there was these literal gangs operating inside Central Jail.
How has the Sheriff's Department responded to the work that you're doing and to the clear and mounting evidence of abuse within the county jail system, the Central Jail and other jails?
Well, they didn't respond at all to us. Sheriff's Department spokesman Steve Whitmore refused to comment to us. Mm. We handed him a list of questions, and he just said no comment. There's no denials. It was just no comment. Previous reports that have come out from the LA Times and the ACLU, the Sheriff's Department has basically downplayed them in the same manner I suggested before, saying, well, there may be problems, but, you know, inmates lie. We don't know for sure. We don't have cameras. And that's kind of been their MO since 2005, really. Yeah. Now, that may change because there's actually a federal investigation underway stemming from an incident in January of this year where an inmate inside Twin Towers, actually, not even CJ, was allegedly beaten into the point of unconsciousness and continued to be beaten and tased while this inmate was unconscious. And we know this because the ACLU's jails monitor, Esther Lim, was actually present for this beating and witnessed it and heard sounds. So the FBI is investigating that matter. So, you know, the Sheriff's Department can downplay media reports all they want, but sooner or later, it seems like, there's going to be a higher accountability here.
In your write-up about this dangerous jails, you talk about Captain John Clark, who was the commanding officer in charge of Men's Central Jail. Tell us a little bit about him.
Sure. Captain Clark was the captain of the jail, which basically means he was in charge of the jail. He had to respond to superior officers, higher up in the sheriff's department. But he basically was the on-the-ground controller of Men's Central Jail. And around 2005, in the wake of the Shane Cochran incident I referenced previously, around then he realized that there was a serious problem with these deputy gangs who were, acting with impunity inside the jail. And so he devised a plan to break them up, to at least mitigate their impact inside the jail. And that was his plan was shift rotation, which is basically simple. You know, you have deputies mm-hmm. working on the third floor all the time. Why not move those same deputies around the jail so that they, move them to visitation, move them to the second floor, move them to. So you essentially, you break up the gangs by physically separating them and you no longer identify with one floor or one section of the jail, which makes perfect sense. It's
easy to implement.
One would think, if the captain is in control of the jail, it should be something that would not be too difficult.
So what happened?
Unfortunately, that did not happen. You would think it would have been easy, but Captain Clark devised this plan, was set to implement it, and apparently hundreds of deputies went over Clark's head who didn't like this plan, presumably the members of the deputy jail gangs, went over Clark's head to Undersheriff Tanaka, Paul Tanaka, who's now he was then assistant sheriff. He's now undersheriff. So he's second in charge of the sheriff's department and basically said, we don't like what this guy Clark is doing. Take care of it for us. And, this is unheard of in a system with rank, to jump. These deputies were essentially jumping 5 notches over their head to complain about, their superior officer's commands, which are perfectly reasonable. And, one would think Tanaka would have backed his man on the inside. And that didn't happen. Shift rotation was never implemented in 2006. The plan was completely nixed, and Clark was transferred out of the jail shortly thereafter. So here you have a case of the man on the ground in control of the jail recognizing that there's a problem and being essentially dismissed by his superior officers.
Well, Matt Fleischer, what are solutions that you think can be easily implemented aside from what you already discussed, the camera issue, shift rotation? Are there other things that can be done? Or is it a matter of allowing a federal investigation like the one you mentioned to go through so that Sheriff Baca and those who are at the very top are, you know, essentially put on notice?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things that can be done because who knows how – to be honest, there is that federal investigation underway I previously mentioned, but who knows how long that takes. Federal investigations can take, you know, years and years at times gathering evidence. So the feds do look like they're moving, but the situation is pretty dire inside the jail. So I don't think I don't think it would be responsible to wait for that to happen. You know, as I said before – there have been 28 incidents the ACLU has documented alone in the past 18 months. So another 18 months, that's you know, 28 more people who could be beaten. And if you don't have sympathy for inmates, that's 28 more people who could sue the county, and there goes your tax dollars. So what could be changed immediately? You know, that's something we're looking into. Obviously, shift rotation has since been implemented in the wake of the current media firestorm over the Christmas incident. So that is a good thing. It would be nice if it had happened 5 years earlier as opposed to waiting for another media firestorm to kind of promote action. There's some things that I can't talk about, actually, because I have to save it for our next story. But
when is that story coming out?
It should be out ideally in a month or two.
And where can listeners get a hold of your work on this issue?
This is a joint collaboration between Witness LA and Spot Us. And so you can find our first piece on Witness LA or Spot Us. Either site would be fine. Mm-hmm. Witness LA, the project called Dangerous Jails Part 1, and you'll be able to find the subsequent piece there as well.
Finally, what happened to Juan Pablo Reyes?
Juan Pablo Reyes is now out of jail. He was released directly from the hospital where it was determined that he had a fractured orbital bone. Mm-hmm. He never received treatment for that injury, and he is now living with his mother, I believe, and is suing the county for presumably lots of money.
Well, Matthew Fleischer, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on.
Matthew Fleischer is an award-winning LA-based journalist and editor who's been a staff writer with the LA Weekly and senior editor of the LA City Beat. You can read his report, Dangerous Jails, Part 1, which he's written, at witnessla.com. That's witnessla.com, or check uprisingradio.org later today for a link.